Chapter 27. Thou art perhaps afraid to speak thy mind, because thou art in their power. Pray, do any of them understand what thou and I say? Can they speak Dutch? D. No, not one of them. I have no apprehensions upon that account at all. Why then, answer me plainly, if thou art a Christian. Is it safe for us to venture upon their words, to put ourselves into their hands, and come on shore? D. You put it very home to me. Pray let me ask you another question. Are you in any likelihood of getting your ship off, if you refuse it? Yes, we shall get off the ship. Now the storm is over, we don't fear it. D. Then I cannot say it is best for you to trust them. Well, it is honestly said. D. But what shall I say to them? Give them good words, as they give us. D. What good words? Let them tell the king, that we are strangers, who were driven on his coast by a great storm, that we thank him very kindly for his offer of civility to us, which, if we are further distressed, we will accept thankfully, but that at present we have no occasion to come on shore, and besides, that we cannot safely leave the ship in the present condition she is in, but that we are obliged to take care of her, in order to get her off, and expect, in a tide or two more, to get her quite clear, and at an anchor. D. But he will expect you to come on shore then, to visit him, and make him some present for his civility. When we have got our ship clear, and stopped the leaks, we will pay our respects to him. D. Nay, you may as well come to him now as then. Nay, hold, friend, I did not say we would come to him then. You talked of making him a present, that is to pay our respects to him, is it not? D. Well, but I will tell him, that you will come on shore to him, when your ship is got off. I have nothing to say to that. You may tell him what you think fit. D. But he will be in a great rage, if I do not. Who will he be in a great rage at? D. At you. What occasion have we to value that? D. Why, he will send all his army down against you. And what if they were all here just now? What dost thou suppose they could do to us? D. He would expect they should burn your ships, and bring you all to him. Tell him, if he should try, he may catch a Tartar. D. He has a world of men. Has he any ships? D. No, he has no ships. Nor boats? D. No, nor boats. Why, what then do you think we care for his men? What canst thou do now to us, if thou hadst 100,000 with thee? They might set you on fire. Set us a firing, thou meanest, that they might indeed, but set us on fire they shall not. They may try, at their peril, and we shall make mad work with your 100,000 men, if they come within reach of our guns, I assure thee. D. But what if the king gives you hostages for your safety? Whom can he give, but mere slaves and servants like thyself, whose lives he no more values than we an English hound? D. Whom do you demand for hostages? Himself and your worship. D. What would you do with him? Do with him as he would do with us, cut his head off. D. And what would you do with me? Do with thee? We would carry thee home into thine own country, and, though thou deservest the gallows, we would make a man and a Christian of thee again, and not do by thee as thou wouldst have done by us, betray thee to a parcel of merciless, savage pagans, that know no God, nor how to show mercy to man. D. You put a thought in my head, that I will speak to you about tomorrow. Thus they went away, and William came on board, and gave us a full account of his parley with the old Dutchman, which was very diverting, and to me instructing, for I had abundance of reason, to acknowledge William had made a better judgment of things than one. It was our good fortune, to get our ship off that very night, and to bring her to an anchor at about a mile and a half farther out, and in deep water, to our great satisfaction, so that we had no need to fear the Dutchman's king with his 100,000 men. And indeed we had some sport with them the next day, when they came down, a vast prodigious multitude of them, very few less in number, in our imagination, than 100,000, with some elephants. Though, if it had been an army of elephants, they could have done us no harm, for we were fairly at our anchor now, and out of their reach. And indeed we thought ourselves more out of their reach than we really were. And it was 10,000 to 1 that we had not been fast aground again, for the wind blowing offshore, though it made the water smooth where we lay, yet it blew a yep farther out than usual, and we could easily perceive the sand, which we touched upon before, lay in the shape of a half moon, and surrounded us with two horns of it, so that we lay in the middle or center of it, as in a round bay, safe just as we were, and in deep water, but present death, as it were, on the right hand, and on the left, for the two horns or points of the sand reached out beyond where our ship lay near 2 miles. On that part of the sand which lay on our east side, this misguided multitude extended themselves, and being, most of them, not above their knees, or most of them, not above ankle deep in the water, they as it were surrounded us on that side, and on the side of the mainland, and a little way on the other side of the sand, standing in a half circle, or rather 3/5 of a circle, for about 6 miles in length. The other horn, or point of the sand, which lay on our west side, being not quite so shallow, they could not extend themselves upon it so far. They little thought what service they had done us, and how unwittingly, and by the greatest ignorance, they had made themselves pilots to us, while we, having not sounded the place, might have been lost, before we were aware. It is true we might have sounded our new harbor, before we had ventured out, but I cannot say for certain, whether we should or not, for I, for my part, had not the least suspicion of what our real case was. However, I say, perhaps, before we had weighed, we should have looked about us a little. I am sure we ought to have done it, for, besides these armies of human furies, we had a very leaky ship, and all our pumps could hardly keep the water from growing upon us, and our carpenters were overboard, working to find out and stop the wounds we had received, healing her first on the one side, and then on the other, and it was very diverting to see how, when our men healed the ship over to the side next the wild army, that stood on the east horn of the sand, they were so amazed, between fright and joy, that it put them into a kind of confusion, calling to one another, hallooing and screeching, in a manner that it is impossible to describe. While we were doing this, for we were in a great hurry you may be sure, and all hands at work, as well at the stopping our leaks as repairing our rigging and sails, which had received a great deal of damage, and also in rigging a new main top mast and the like, I say, while we were doing all this, we perceived a body of men, of near 1,000, move from that part of the army of the barbarians, that lay at the bottom of the sandy bay, and came all along the water's edge, round the sand, till they stood just on our broadside east, and were within about 1/2 mile of us. Then we saw the Dutchman come forward nearer to us, and all alone, with his white flag and all his motions, just as before, and there he stood. Our men had but just brought the ship to rights again as they came up to our broadside, and we had very happily found out, and stopped the worst, and most dangerous leak that we had, to our very great satisfaction. So I ordered the boats to be hauled up and manned as they were the day before, and William to go as plenipotentiary. I would have gone myself, if I had understood Dutch, but as I did not, it was to no purpose, for I should be able to know nothing of what was said, but from him at second hand, which might be done as well afterwards. All the instructions I pretended to give William was, if possible, to get the old Dutchman away, and, if he could, to make him come on board. Well, William went just as before, and when he came within about 60 or 70 yards of the shore, he held up his white flag as the Dutchman did, and turning the boat's broadside to the shore, and his men lying upon their oars, the parlier dialogue began again thus. William. Well, friend, what dost thou say to us now? Dutchman. I come of the same mild errand as I did yesterday. W. What? Dost thou pretend to come of a mild errand with all these people at thy back, and all the foolish weapons of war they bring with them? Prithee, what dost thou mean? D. The king hastens us to invite the captain, and all his men to come on shore, and has ordered all his men, to show them all the civility they can. W. Well, and are all those men come to invite us ashore? D. They will do you no hurt, if you will come on shore peaceably. W. Well, and what dost thou think they can do to us, if we will not? D. I would not have them do you any hurt then, neither. W. But prithee, friend, do not make thyself fool and knave too. Dost not thou know that we are out of fear of all thy army, and out of danger of all that they can do? What makes thee act so simply as well as so knavishly? D. Why, you may think yourselves safer than you are. You do not know what they may do to you. I can assure you they are able to do you a great deal of harm, and perhaps burn your ship. W. Suppose that were true, as I am sure it is false. You see we have more ships to carry us off, pointing to the sloop. N.B. Just at this time we discovered the sloop standing towards us from the east, along the shore, at about the distance of 2 leagues, which was to our particular satisfaction, she having been missing 13 days. D. We do not value that. If you had 10 ships, you dare not come on shore, with all the men you have, in a hostile way. We are too many for you. W. Thou dost not, even in that, speak as thou meanest, and we may give thee a trial of our hands, when our friends come up to us, for thou hearest they have discovered us. Just then the sloop fired 5 guns, which was to get news of us, for they did not see us. D.S., I hear they fire, but I hope your ship will not fire again, for, if they do, our general will take it for breaking the truce, and will make the army let fly a shower of arrows at you in the boat. W. Thou mayest be sure the ship will fire, that the other ship may hear them, but not with ball. If thy general knows no better, he may begin when he will, but thou mayest be sure we will return it to his cost. D. What must I do, then? W. Do. Why, go to him, and tell him of it beforehand, then, and let him know that the ship firing is not at him nor his men, and then come again, and tell us what he says. D. No, I will send to him, which will do as well. W. Do as thou wilt, but I believe thou hadst better go thyself, for if our men fire first, I suppose he will be in a great wrath, and it may be at thee, for, as to his wrath at us, we tell thee beforehand we value it not. D. You slight them too much, you know not what they may do. W. Thou makest, as if these poor savage wretches could do mighty things. Prithee, let us see what you can all do, we value it not. Thou mayest set down thy flag of truce when thou pleasest, and begin. D. I had rather make a truce, and have you all part friends. W. Thou art a deceitful rogue thyself, for it is plain thou knowest these people would only persuade us on shore, to entrap and surprise us, and yet thou that art a Christian, as thou callest thyself, would have us come on shore, and put our lives into their hands who know nothing that belongs to compassion, good usage, or good manners. How canst thou be such a villain? D. How can you call me so? What have I done to you, and what would you have me do? W. Not act like a traitor, but like one that was once a Christian, and would have been so still, if you had not been a Dutchman. D. I know not what to do, not one. I wish I were from them. They are a bloody people. W. Prithee, make no difficulty of what thou shouldst do. Canst thou swim? D. Yes, I can swim, But if I should attempt to swim off to you, I should have 1,000 arrows and javelins sticking in me before I should get to your boat. I'll bring the boat close to thee, and take thee on board in spite of them all. We will give them but one volley, and I'll engage they will all run away from thee. D. You are mistaken in them, I assure you. They would immediately come all running down to the shore, and shoot fire arrows at you, and set your boat and ship, and all on fire about your ears. W. We will venture that, if thou wilt come off. D. Will you use me honorably, when I am among you? W. I'll give thee my word for it, if thou provest honest. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.